Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST. Code ACAST.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the week. Oh, my.
You choked
I'm
up.
Okay, yeah.
You choked up because it's us here together. A yep. Couple of bros.
A couple of bros, yeah.
Working together.
I'm working on my emotional, my ability to express myself.
Interesting.
I fucking hate you.
That's good. That's good. We're finally getting somewhere. And then all the walls come down and you're in a psychiatrist's office. And I put my lab coat on and I'm like, we've done it, well folks.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of The Weekly Planet, where we talk movies and comics and TV shows. My name is James, also known as Mr. Sunday. And with me, as always, is my co-host. I don't actually hate him. It's Nick Mason.
Dr. Nick
The walls
Mason.
Are going up.
That's right. Oh, the walls are back up.
Yeah.
You want to live in this fantasy
That's
world
right, yeah.
where we do a podcast. Okay, great. I'm excited for that, too.
Terrific stuff. Big week, Mason.
Big week.
For 1,000 of trailers that came out.
That's right.
We are going to, of course, talk about new Ghostbusters, Ghostbusters Frozen Time.
That's right.
And that's going to be fun, I think.
I think so too.
As a movie and to talk about.
A discussion.
Yeah, two
that's
fun
That's the best
things.
Part of a movie is discussing it afterwards with your bros.
Completely
on a podcast.
Agree. Yep, a real podcast. It's not an experiment or like you're monitoring somebody.
Yeah, absolutely.
Under the guise of a podcast.
For their delusions.
Yeah,
and,
yeah, yeah.
You know.
Yeah.
Inability this does to communicate.
Go out. It does go out, doesn't it? To people.
I mean, you're certainly clicking on a thing, aren't you?
Yeah.
You're moving a file and you're clicking on a thing and it goes ding and a little pop-up comes up and it says, you've successfully done a podcast and a smiley face comes up. Well done, James.
Is this like the end of Shutter Island, spoiler alert, where you're going to lobotomize me? You're like, he still thinks he's in a podcast.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right.
All right. Anyway, this time goes below if you're doing a jump to Ghostbusters or whatever. Before we got there and we get there, it's the news of the week. We're going to talk some big businessmen going in on each other.
Oh, big CEO news.
That's right. We're going to talk about the use of AI in films and where that's happening.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to talk about a live-action Teen Titans movie in the works.
Oh.
We're going to talk about the next James Bond potentially. And then we've got trailers for Furiosa, The Acolyte, Marvel 1943, Beetlejuice, Alien Romulus, and Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scargiver.
That's so many trailers.
The dog is barking. I'm just going to check on dog. I can leave this room, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You're not on a treadmill. All right. You're not on a treadmill with some matte paintings next to you. This is all real stuff.
Ollie.
Nobody tell him it's not real stuff.
I'm coming back.
I want the world to know.
All right, I am back. Mm-hmm. Let's kick things off with this. You know about this. So there's currently a Disney boardroom takeover that's in play.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Who's taken over from whom?
Well, Ike Perlmutter. Who you might know as the guy who tried to ruin Marvel for several years.
Yep, sure, sure.
Kevin Feige used to have to go through him to make any kind of major decisions and was...
He had to do it gridiron style.
Pretty much.
He put on his special armoured baseball cap with the grill over the front of his face.
Yep.
And he put on his padded shoulders and he charged through Ike Perlmutter.
People might know he's in that picture, that ominous picture of him and Trump.
Yeah.
He was the one who wanted to replace... Jim Rhodes actor. Who were the two actors again?
Oh,
Don Cheadle.
And Terrence Howard.
Terrence Howard. And he said, don't worry about it. People won't notice because all black people look the same. And he said, we've talked about him before multiple times.
Yeah, he's bad.
Anyway, him and Nelson Peltz, who's a billionaire, whose granddaughter is in the Transformers movies. She's in four?
Really?
And four. The daughter of Mark Wahlberg.
Oh.
She was also in Avatar The Last Airbender, the movie.
Oh.
Which is bad. Anyway.
Nepo baby then.
Yes.
Mm-hmm, okay.
They're banding together.
Do you know who's a Nepo baby?
Who?
I didn't realize.
Who?
Jared Harris.
Who's his parent?
Richard Harris.
Oh, yeah. It's disappointing.
Which is weird because they're the same age seemingly.
Fucking Jared Harris.
He's good though.
Ah, piece of shit.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Mm. That makes a lot of sense. And that's maybe something I knew or didn't know.
Mm, yeah.
Anyway, so these two ghouls are banding together.
Goons and ghouls
to put
from Capcom.
To put pelts on the board of Disney.
Okay.
But someone has stepped in. Because they want to get rid of Bob Iger.
Yeah, sure.
Who's currently the head of Disney because he was out for a bit and he retired and now he's back.
Because he said something along the lines, we want to stop making so much crap.
Yeah.
And they're like, no, you...
Excuse me?
How's the number going to go up if we don't just churn out crap?
Yeah. So this is why THR, because somebody stepped in, a big player in this industry.
Who's this going to be? Is it somebody I don't recognize?
No, it's George Lucas.
George Lucas.
Creator of Star Wars.
Now, he's a big Disney shareholder.
Yeah, so now, he has huge sway. So
I was under the impression that when he sold Star Wars to Disney,
yeah,
he was just out of the business.
No,
forever.
He got $4 billion,
yes,
and then he got a huge stake in Disney.
Yeah.
So so this is what he said. Creating magic is not for amateurs.
Can you do it in the voice?
Creative magic is not for amateurs.
That's good.
Do I have to do the whole thing
like
that?
No, that'll do it. That's good. Fine. We'll get AI to do it later.
Yeah. When I sold Lucasfilm just over a decade ago, I was delighted to become a Disney shareholder. Because of my long-time admiration for the iconic brand and Bob Iger's leadership. That's true. Bob Iger did trick him into selling Disney.
Nice.
By telling Star Wars. When Bob recently returned to the company during a difficult time, I was relieved. No one knows Disney better. I remain a significant shareholder because I have full faith and confidence in the power of Disney and Bob's track record of driving long-term value. I have voted all of my shares for Disney's 12 directors and urge other shareholders to do the same.
Oh.
So that you got backing of George Lucas. That ain't nothing. He's a creative. He knows what he's talking about, probably.
Sure.
So, yeah, that's this is currently in flux, but it doesn't look good for all Ike Perlmutter and Nelson Peltz.
Uh-oh, unless they've got another trick up their sleeve.
Yeah.
Maybe they've got maybe they're friends with
a murderer.
I mean, certainly. Donald Trump.
Sure.
Probably does. We don't know for sure.
He's not a direct murderer.
No.
Yeah, I mean, through presidential stuff.
Yeah, he's probably
murdered a bunch of people. They have to.
They love it.
Yeah, they do
love it.
So they
get there.
They really do love
it.
Yeah. So, yeah, look, I guess if I had to pick a side, it would be the side that George Lucas...
Sure, I guess. If we had to pick a billionaire whose side we're on,
he's the billionaire we're going to eat last.
That's true.
That's what we all decided, right?
I think so, yeah.
We collectively decided. Mm. So there you go. That's all up in the air.
Yeah.
And here's another thing I love talking about. It's AI.
Oh,
so you might have seen the news this week that Late Night with the Devil, which is getting incredibly rave reviews.
That's true.
Had some AI imagery used in its...
So It's a couple of things. It's an interstitial, like a "We'll be right back" because it's a horror movie set in the 70s, I think, on a late night talk show with David Dastmalchian in the lead role, and so it's an interstitial, and it's also part of the background.
Yes,
and it's when you look at it, it's pretty obvious.
Yeah,
it's a skeleton. Yep. It's a scary skeleton.
It's a bit scary,
but it's got weird messed up hands and a weird leg that isn't, and it doesn't look real, and it's quite bad. And they admitted they used it for a few things, but it's one is, again, the main part of the set. And
yes. I think, as other people have said, I don't think it, like, undercuts the rest of the – like, I don't think it should exclude – I'm not going to not say this because they did this one thing. I mean, you could point to any film and be like, I don't like that element of it.
Yeah. And I think the argument as well is currently, because there's a lot of discourse about it, you know, the argument is, well, this might be an indie movie and it's smaller and maybe they didn't have the budget or what have you, but at the same time, if you let everything you let through without critique or without...
Absolutely.
Then they'll...
Oh, yeah, this shouldn't happen.
You know, bigger budget movies will do it as well.
Yep.
And I think, you know, they've said some people on Twitter, you know, a lot of artists were like, hey, I made my own version of this.
Yeah.
I did it in 2 hours.
Mm.
Given that they've been critiqued for this, when it goes to streaming or when it goes, you know, to a wide release or something like that, surely you could just get...
Yeah.
And you know, horror movies, because that's what it is, you know, they do have that... DIY work ethic, you know, where you could just contact a local artist and go, hey, can, you know, we'll give you a couple of grand. And if
absolutely.
You want to, if you, can you make
a couple of grand, maybe 20 or 30 bucks.
Yeah. Even if they made this with AI, just show it to an artist and go, can you make a hand-drawn version of this?
Yeah.
And a lot of people did. And then you get, you know, you get some money and you get your name in the credits and what have you. And, you know.
Exactly. Or this.
Yeah.
This seems easier though, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And now you've drummed up all this PR.
That's exactly right.
That's great.
I kind of like. I would like to see this movie.
Yep.
And I'm sure I'll see it eventually. But again, you know, I And it's also a case of so many people in Hollywood get their start doing a really small thing, whether it's in front of the camera or behind the scenes. And, you know, and they get one credit and they can build on that. And
Director Joe Johnson designed Boba Fett and was a model maker for the original Star Wars.
Then he directed The Rocketeer.
That's right.
And now we're just getting Rocketeer sequels out the wazoo every year, twice a year. Yeah. Sick of them.
Me too. God. Yeah. No, you're not wrong.
And it's the same thing with, you know, how they're like, well, now we can scan a background extra and put them in a movie and we can replicate them 100 times and put them in every movie and blah, blah, blah. We don't have to pay anybody. But that's how people get on set and they're discovered and they get a line and then they're in the movies.
Exactly.
Kind of thing. So
you can't need a scan of a person.
I kind of feel like what they should at the very minimum contact somebody on Twitter who made a real version of that.
Yeah.
And when it comes to streaming or when it gets to the wide release, replace.
I completely agree.
It can't be that hard.
No. It seems easy.
Yeah.
Especially if this movie does well, which it looks to.
Yeah. But and some people have said, oh, it's unfair because they're a smaller movie and blah, blah, blah.
No.
But I think it's unfortunate they've been caught in the crossfire here, but they are and they've gotten the heat.
Yep.
And I think as a gesture of goodwill, they should probably replace.
Yeah, I don't disagree.
And it's not like, well, how can we find somebody? People have volunteered their art.
I'm sure there's people, and I don't think they should do it like this, who would just do it for free.
Yeah.
For exposure, which I don't encourage at all.
Uh-huh.
But like to be like, this is out of our budget or abilities is just not true.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, more AI news. This is via Bloomberg. Terrific. OpenAI is gearing up for a series of meetings next week with Hollywood studios.
Terrific. Now, which one is OpenAI?
Sora.
Oh, they do the 30-second videos?
Yeah, yeah. So talent agencies and media executives, so they're going to go to Hollywood studios, talent agencies and media executives to pitch filmmakers on the integration of its AI video generation tool, Sora. CEO Sam Altman made the rounds and attended parties during Oscars week making inroads. A spokesperson for OpenAI said in a statement to Bloomberg, "We look forward to an open dialogue with artists and creatives." So it's been like Japan, snowing, walk down street.
Yeah. Everybody look at camera.
Drone shot. Yeah. God.
Uncanny valley eyes.
Fucking.
Scary looking eyes.
Fucking.
Looks bad.
Grim, man.
Chilled down your spine as you look at these people because they're not quite right.
Yeah. I think the only thing that would stop this is just people going, we hate this.
Yeah.
I think, and it's unprofitable. I think that's the only way they would stop doing this. I mean, you could also, I know with actors, they put things in place in contracts and all of that and like, you know, SAG after or where like you cannot use AI tools in various things. But I don't know. It just seems like the dam is going to burst on this.
It's going to be a case of your big stars will be like your Tom Cruises and et cetera will hopefully be like, you cannot replace any part of me with AI. If you need reshoots, you can't use an AI version of me. You have to bring me in, blah, blah, blah. But I wonder also if there might be some people who are like, well, if you give me an extra $1 million and I don't have to come in to do reshoots, fine. Yeah. And then it's kind of a like.
Was there stuff said about Roadhouse, some ADR AI? There were some accusations of that. I don't know, but there's definitely, they will.
I think we'll talk about it later, but there's some of the fight sequences, there's visual effects built in. They're doing some sort of new technique where they're, in order to make the punches look.
You hit a green bag and then you find and replace and you do a couple of takes. Yeah.
And some of it looks fairly convincing, some of it is not convincing, but again, you know, it's an emerging technology and I guess you've got a. But it's not AI as far as I know.
No.
Yeah. I'm
not talking about that. I'm talking about there was some other stuff that was said.
Oh, I don't know then.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know.
But I don't know. We'll see. Mm-hmm. Also, this is already happening because Tyler Perry in February, he cancelled an $80 million studio expansion because of Sora's mind-blowing capabilities in relation to their text-to-video software. He said, "I no longer would have to travel to locations. If I wanted to be in the snow in Colorado, it's text. If I wanted to write a scene on the moon, it's text, and this AI can generate it like nothing."
Ugh.
Great.
Yeah.
Really good.
And it's that thing of like it's
he's a billionaire.
Yeah, exactly.
What are you doing?
Just spend some money and hire some creatives. Get a green screen. Yeah. I mean and it's again, I think what is probably gonna happen is someone is going probably a smaller creator like your Late Night with the Devil people. Somebody is gonna AI generate a scene or AI generate a background or something like that is going to be demonstrably owned by somebody else. Like it'll have Disney creative elements it'll be owned by a really big company.
Somebody you can't poke.
Exactly. will go, okay, well, we're going to sue you. It'll be, I think if we briefly talked about it at some point, we may have maybe a bonus podcast about like sampling music in the 80s. And what happened was there was no rules for a while.
Yeah.
So people went nuts with it. And then some people with deep pockets said, we're going to sue you for using a sample you didn't pay for and you didn't ask for. And then the rules, you know, very quickly crystallized of like, you have to ask and you have to pay and you need a contract and blah, blah, blah. And I think it's going to be the same for this. I think it's going to be a case of somebody will get burned really badly for doing it. Mm. And then the rule will become,
you have to name the sources that the AI is referencing.
You have to name the sources. Or it's a case of you can only use public domain databases.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there'll be people out there who'll be like, I would love to get a piece of, well, maybe not, but I'm sure there'll be some people out there who'd be like, I have a piece of art and it's public domain, and if you want to use it in a AI generation database, you can.
Yeah.
Something like that. Or for a small fee.
Sure.
It might be, I imagine they'll probably build it into that system where you go generate a scene in the winter with a blah, 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 and you click and it says it's used all these sources and check the boxes and they'll get sent a fee.
Yep.
And if you want to pay for it, you can pay for it. Mm. And if you don't, you uncheck the boxes and you get a worse version. You know?
I'd love a worse version. Yeah, I think also it's not going away.
Yeah.
And I think so it's just going to have to be, and people will use it, but like any tool of any filmmaking or, you know.
Like a camera.
Like a camera.
Yeah.
People used
that. Or a grip.
People thought it was.
Or a dolly grip.
Yeah.
People were
like, camera's a fake. It's like I'm a fake face.
Yeah.
And you're looking at things, but it's We figured it out.
That's right.
Yeah.
You'll never replace the Best Boys.
No.
Whatever they do.
Whatever they're up to. God bless them, all of them. Mm. Anyway, this is the next
bit. I think they hold lights.
That's the best thing you could do.
I agree. Mm.
THR, here we've got some actual movie news.
Great.
Apparently a live-action Teen Titans movie is in the works.
Ooh.
Anna Noguera is to write.
Oh, yes.
She's already working on Supergirl, Woman of Tomorrow,
upcoming
Supergirl movie. Now, these are some of the people that have been in the Teen Titans. Mm-hmm. Robin, Kid Flash, Aqualad, Wonder Girl, Beast Boy, Best Boy, Cyborg. Cyborg's normally a Teen Titan guy or has been a Teen Titan guy. Raven and Starfire. And the villain Deathstroke began in the Teen Titans.
That is correct, yes. Mm-hmm.
Until he got too cool for them and he moved up to killing Batman.
That's right.
Yeah. How do you feel about that, Teen Titans?
Okay, sure. I mean, they just did the TV series for a few seasons.
Sure, they did, didn't
they? And it pretty much had that lineup.
And there's Teen Titans Go.
There is Teen Titans Go.
Yeah. I've never seen Teen Titans, the show. It's good, right? People like some of it?
I like the first season. Mm. I didn't like the second season. I watched some of the third season.
What do you
think about that? Some good.
That's great.
It's great.
I love all of
it. Of course, it had Alan Ritchson for a couple of seasons, and then he quit to be Jack Reacher.
Who was he?
He was Hawk.
Hawk.
And he's like, well, I could continue being Hawk or I could be Jack Reacher.
Is he Teen Hawk?
No, he's pretty much Adult Man Hawk.
Okay, I was going to say, because he's a man.
He's a man. He's Man Hawk.
He's definitely a man. I'll tell you the truth.
Mm-hmm.
This is via The Sun. So it's bullshit.
Mm-hmm.
But it could end up being true. They're saying that Aaron Taylor Johnson is James Bond.
He's a lock.
Yeah, he said Bond is Aaron's job, should he wish to accept it. The formal offer is
That's
how they say it.
That's not how Bond accepts missions. It's just his job. He has to do it.
No, should you wish, do you want to accept it?
No.
This Bond job's about to explode.
No, I won't take it.
You have to.
You said I could choose.
No, it's your job. We're giving you the illusion of choice like most jobs, but you just have to do it. The formal offer is on the table and they are waiting to hear back. As far as Eon is concerned, Aaron is going to sign his contract in the coming days and they can start preparing for the big announcement.
Ooh.
E! News has said that Aaron Taylor-Johnson has not actually been offered the role of 007 at this
time.
So I would say, it sounds like he's probably one of the front runners.
I mean,
which isn't surprising.
Or is it potentially his agent has put his name in the press to drum up some stuff?
And then, you know, people, they gauge public reaction to it as well, and they're like, was it the people liking this guy, et cetera?
Now, he's 33.
Mm.
So is that...
It's a good age.
When did Sean Connery start, I wonder?
I think Sean Connery was a bit younger 50. Than that.
He would have been 50 years old, right?
He would have
based on the vibe.
Yeah, he's
would have been in his 50s. And head. Yeah.
How old was Sean Connery Bond?
Nice.
He was 33.
Whoa. Okay, all right.
I mean, that was when the movie debuted.
That's true.
So this guy's already 33.
Yeah, over
how old was Daniel Craig? He would have been about that age.
Go to the Google
Maybe
machine.
A bit younger. He's 56 now. I know that. So he was born in 68.
Mm-hmm.
First Bond
in
2006.
Yeah.
Is that right? His Bond came out. So it would have been 38. He would have been a bit older.
Okay, then.
Mm. Great.
Well, good.
I mean,
he's certain. Aaron Taylor Johnson has certainly put the work in. He's been working a long time. He's been in a lot of movies. Some of them are good.
Some of them are Kraven the Hunter, upcoming.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm.
Some of them are The Fall Guy.
Yeah, he's in The Fall Guy.
You know who else is in The Fall Guy?
Brad Pitt.
Yes, no. But also a guy I know.
Who?
Ben Knight. Do you know Ben Knight?
Ben Knight.
He's a stand-up comedian. He's an Australian stand-up comic.
Well, it's filmed in Australia.
Yeah, he's a big, tall, redheaded guy. He used to be a teacher.
Oh, I used to be a teacher. Yeah. I know this guy. How do you know him?
From comedy.
Did he like me?
I don't know. I don't know if he knows you.
Let me check if.
But I think that's fun because I watched the trailer. I'm like, oh, that's a big redheaded bloke. And then we get a close up. I'm like, it's Ben Knight. He's very funny. He's a very nice guy. Also, so
he's on LinkedIn and Facebook.
Great.
He's 48. So you know, that's where they all are.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you're in that middle bracket where you're not on the younger apps, but you're not. You know.
And I'm wondering, are there any other people we know in there? Perhaps Greg Larson is in there.
Do you think he is?
He was in The Tourist.
He was in The Tourist recently, wasn't he? Yeah, yeah. Cool. Well, good for this guy who knows me.
I don't know.
Mason, trailers ahoy.
I thought he might know you because you were also a teacher.
Well, we don't all know each other, but he does know me.
Okay, great. Great.
Even though we've never met.
What do you think about Aaron Taylor Johnson as Bond?
Yeah.
Do we imagine him with short hair?
No, you got to cut that hair.
Do we imagine him in the present day or the 60s? It's going to be present day.
Could you imagine him in the 60s? Because they got to do all the product placement.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
No, I can see him do either. Yeah.
Yeah.
He needs to cut the mullet, though.
He's got to be
running around like that.
Yeah.
He was also Kick-Ass.
He was also Kick-Ass. Again, he's put the work in, certainly. And there's him in a tuxedo.
Whoa, that guy looks like James Bond.
I quite like it.
Yeah, I don't mind it either.
Yeah. Well,
anyway, we don't know.
We don't know.
We just don't know. Trailers ahoy.
But anyway, it's good that he's going to be asked about that forever.
We've got the ship in the harbour. It's waiting to come in.
Oh, with the trailers.
But go on.
But I'm just going to say, like, Clive, did you watch the Clive Owen iconic roles?
Yes, I did.
Video?
Yeah.
Still being asked about that.
James Bond.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And right at the end. And also, it turned out he was never in contention for that. He said at the end of that.
Maybe I watched a different one.
But he was just like, no, we never.
Yeah.
People thought about it, and now I just have to. He didn't say this, his general attitude was basically, you know, I'm very grateful for the career, and I had lots of great roles, and everything's been terrific. But he did just as a matter of fact, he was like, yeah, I was never in contention. But
it's weird they never went to him at all, though. Uh-huh. Like you'd think that they would have gone to him.
Yeah,
don't know
because he wore a tuxedo that time.
He wore one tuxedo that one time, and he's in Children of Men, which is a good movie.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. Anyway, let's bring that.
Trailers ahoy.
Let's bring that ship into the harbour.
Wow, we've got so many trailers.
God, we've got good structure and metaphors for this podcast.
Don't we just? But this is a literal ship.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Quite apart from the metaphors and the framing.
That's right.
Yeah.
Furiosa got a brand new trailer. We got a bit more of the story.
Yeah.
A bit more of the background of the character, a bit more about the villain, Chris Hemsworth.
That's true.
Being very Australian in it.
He's very Australian.
It's got the people. Some people are a bit like, oh, I don't know.
There was a lot. That's true. There's also a lot of, I think, reveals in this trailer. We get like the final Furiosa look, which I'm sure people knew we were going to get.
The arm and the shaved head, bionic arm, and the black forehead.
Yeah, we got all that.
The greasy forehead must be terrible for breakouts.
Yes. We also got her life as a child in. Is it
that?
The Megan Gale garden place that we see in Fury Road.
Garden State.
But it also reminded me because we actually, we recently rewatched, thank you, Zach Braff, Scrubs.
Yes.
Scrubs interns.
Yes.
We recently rewatched original Mad Max. We're doing it for Caravan of Garbage,
not this week, next.
And there is a scene in that where Mad Max and his wife and his kid just go on holiday to Dalesford or Phillip Island. And I'm wondering if that
that's where Chris Hemsworth is from too.
There you go. I'm wondering if the lush paradise that we see in Fury Road and Furiosa isn't some sort of mythical Garden of Eden place. It's just Phillip Island.
Just Phillip Island, man. So look, I guess I'd love this to be like as good as Mad Max Fury Road.
Mm-hmm.
Skepticism, obviously. I know people are saying like there's a lot of CGI in this. There's a fucking shit ton of CGI in Fury Road.
Yeah.
Watch any behind the scenes of that. It's just there's so much CGI stuff in that.
Yeah.
A lot of it is done for real.
Uh-huh.
But so many background replacements and vehicle stuff and whatever. So there is like real stunt work.
Yeah, there's a decent combination of visual effects and putting somebody in a big giant rubber band and having him spring into the air, you know?
Exactly. So I'm hoping this is good. It's out in a couple months or whatever it is. Then we got a trailer for The Acolyte, Star Wars.
Mm-hmm, sure.
It broke some records. Apparently most watched Star Wars trailer, but
most disliked.
Big thumbs down also.
Sure, okay.
I loved the poster. It's the lightsaber with the blood dragged down.
Yeah, okay, sure.
I was going to say.
Silence for the rest of the podcast.
Yeah, please. I was going to say.
Okay.
No, sorry, go on.
It looks, there is a nice combination, I think, of I was going to say, not nice combination. What I liked about it is I think a lot of the fight choreography looks very good.
Yeah.
Like it sort of seems very interesting and creative in a yep. way that it seems to be more martial arts based than
yes.
a lot of the more recent stuff. Prime,
it's the High Republic era or whatever.
So yeah, right. So they're more, Jedi, they're perhaps more kind of, they're more skilled and
less wood choppy.
Less wood choppy.
Carrie Ann Moss, Lee Dwang Jae, Carrie Ann Moss, of course, Matrix.
Mm-hmm.
And also the dude from Squid Game is in it.
That's true. Hello, yeah.
I'm Squid Game.
Mm-hmm.
Now, look, I didn't mind the trailer. I didn't feel the need to furiously dislike it.
Uh-huh.
But the thing I like about this is that it's the showrunner is Leslie Headland, who did Russian Doll.
Oh, great.
So that's what I'm interested in
okay,
for
right.
this of. Mm. And it's a mystery. Who's the Sith? Who is it? People are saying Darth Plagueis maybe, or some kind of rogue student. Who knows?
Maybe a new guy.
Maybe a nah. No.
Darth Maul?
Yes, Darth Maul's back.
Love that.
Yeah. Yeah.
For the first time.
But just his legs.
Yeah. So this when is this set? When is this set BBY?
Like,
when is it set BBY?
It's Yoda's like 200 or something like
oh.
that. So it's I don't know. It's
So it's set during Yoda's 200th birthday party.
That's right.
Okay. So this is
they pull him aside and like Yoda, there's a fucking
How old is he in Empire Strikes Back? He's 900, right?
Yeah, there's a red lightsaber happening. Your birthday party.
Oh, speaking of lightsabers.
Yep.
Yellow lightsabers.
Oh, those are canon.
They're canon now. I mean, they were before.
They were
with Rey.
Cal Kestis have a yellow one? I know you can make it yellow.
Mm.
Kyle Katarn had a yellow lightsaber.
It's true.
But that's not canon.
It's true. What I didn't like about it is what I've probably not liked about a bunch of recent Star Wars mm-hmm. stuff is there's a lot of stuff. I think I read that they were like, we didn't use the volume.
Bullshit.
Well, it looks like you did use the volume and you didn't bring Greg Fraser in, creator of the volume, so it looks bad. A lot of it looks bad. You're just standing around.
Yep.
But again, it's not – it isn't the volume's fault. It is the fault of do it in post.
Capitalism.
Capitalism. But it is a case of we don't want to make any choices now
yep.
because we might want to make some different choices later. Mm-hmm. So let's just do the most basic shot framing we possibly can
yep.
and fix it in post. So we don't want to, we don't want a spectacular dynamic shot because what if we don't want to use it later and we don't have any boring
Do you really want that? Do you really want a spectacular
no,
dynamic
I want a boring,
shot?
No, boring stuff.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
But
man.
Anyway, you could have fooled me that they didn't use the volume in a bad way.
You cannot be fooled, Mason. When this
do you think Greg Fraser, I don't know if he's connected to the internet
June
at all.
June 4th. Yeah, go on.
I'm wondering if any time a Star Wars trailer comes out, he's like, I'm going to get a torrent of abuse from people who think this is my fault.
I think most people don't know that he does
No, that's probably
that
true.
That at all.
Yeah, I think a lot of people probably
And if
just,
you do know, you probably like the stuff that he does.
Yeah, I think you're probably right. I think probably people mostly just assume this is just regular green screen.
He did the Batman. Yeah. Mason, quick question. Are you team green or team black?
God, I'm going to have to make a stupid decision about whatever this stupid thing is. Team green or team black? I'm going to say team green.
Yep.
I just like, what shade of green?
Like an Albany.
An Albany.
Yeah.
The town of Albany, New York.
Exactly.
An Albany style green.
Exactly.
Are you colorblind?
Doesn't matter. Doesn't matter.
I guess I'm going to go with an Albany style green then. Because I just like more colours.
You've chosen a particular family in Game of Thrones because there were two Game of Thrones trailers this week.
Okay.
One was for the black family and one's for the green family. I can't remember which is which.
I didn't say those.
But there's two trailers.
Okay.
And they're dueling families.
Dueling and fueling?
Dragons.
Damn.
And who knows what's going to happen. You didn't watch that last season, did you?
No, probably a big dragon fight, I guess.
There was. Game of Thrones prequel. What was it called again?
House of the Dragon.
Yeah, man.
I didn't see it.
Check it out.
But I guess I'm team green. Are you going to be team black by default?
No, I'm also team green.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, we're on the same team. Unless you want to switch teams.
No.
Mm. Anyway,
if anything, I'm going to get you to switch teams through bullying.
All right, I'll switch. Okay. I'm team black now.
Fine.
I'll continue watching this. I don't think I'm in love with it as much as everybody else is.
Okay.
Because there's a lot of like, ooh, who's going to win between these families? I'm like, I don't like anybody here.
Okay.
And like, I didn't like anybody with the other Game of Thrones show.
Now, this is set BBY, obviously.
Yeah, but these are all like, they're all like noble people. So I'm like, I'd rather a grub wins.
Sure, okay.
Get a grub in there.
Yeah.
Good. So yeah, it's set 200 years before whatever or something.
Okay.
Or 100 years.
Also, when Yoda was born.
It was his birthday.
Okay, that's terrific.
So that's great, isn't it?
Good, yes. I guess the question again is, because it's a prequel to Game of Thrones, it's a lot of it is a foregone conclusion, right?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
And nobody's immortal. Nobody's surviving till Game of Thrones era.
No. Oh, no, there's some old dudes and whatever.
Some old dudes, all right.
And they're like, hello, I'm
All right, not bad.
Game of Thrones. So, you know, yeah, I'm doing sure, a Game of Thrones now.
Mm.
We also got a trailer. It's a cinematic trailer for the next one of the next Marvel games. It's called Marvel 1943.
Mm-hmm, sure.
It's got Captain America and Black Panther as playable characters, along with US Commando, Gabriel Jones, and Wakandan spy Nanali.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm.
So this isn't gameplay footage, but apparently it's rendered in real time, etc.
This is any Unreal Engine 5.
It's pretty unreal.
It's genuinely pretty unreal.
Face animation's looking real sharp. Yeah,
I initially watched it on Twitter and I'm like, and like a lot of people, I was like, is this just video?
Mm.
But it's not.
No.
None of those are real.
Also, I know in 10 years, some people might hear this and they'll be like, actually, that looks like shit. You don't even know what it looks like.
Yeah.
Because in 10 years, we've got the future and the future looks way better.
Well, the joke's on you. I didn't even watch it at all. So don't you look stupid. Don't you look stupid.
So as I said, out in 2025, I've completely forgotten about this.
Yeah. Now, is this going to be in the style of like a
Assassin's Creed?
Assassin's Creed, there we go.
Like an open world little
map. Sandbox.
If I had to guess, I would say, and I don't know, it'd be like more like a Sniper Elite where you're given an area.
Okay.
And you go in and do
whatever.
And
then you throw your shield and it hits a guy right in the nuts and you see an X-ray view of their nuts exploding.
Exactly.
Terrific.
And he goes,
my nuts.
But in German.
I did that. I said, ach, my nuts.
My nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're probably right. So I'm looking forward.
My nuts have exploded in mine Lederhosen. Ah! I'll never get that out.
You really won't.
You won't.
You won't. I don't know what your situation will be, but it's bad.
Yeah.
So yeah, look forward to that next year. And then we've got a trailer for Beetlejuice. Beetlejuice?
Oh, actually, before we get into that, just for a sec. There's some dialogue in the game.
Is there some content to be mined?
There's
for the podcast?
There's some dialogue in the game where they say Captain America says something along the lines of, there's me and there's this Catman, and so there's three superhumans in this area. Do you think they mean the Red Skull, or do you think it's another secret guy?
Like a Winter Soldier?
Maybe.
It wouldn't be him.
Quick update for people who are
in the future,
looking forward to the new Captain America movie.
Yeah.
Sebastian Stan's not in it.
No, he's not in it.
And neither is
Anthony
Daniel Brühl.
They took him out.
Oh, no.
Yeah, man.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, that's a shame.
Is he in Thunderbolts, Daniel Brühl?
Yes, he is. I think he's in the...
I've lost track of who's...
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But Anthony Mackie just came out and said, yeah, it's a shame.
Mm.
It's a shame they're not in this. They're good. So this movie will be less good because they're not in it.
Harrison Ford's in it. He's the Red Hulk. Oh, yeah. Shh, it's a secret. You're not supposed to know that.
Man behind the mustache.
Yeah. So there you go. I don't know, man, about that Captain America movie. I just don't know.
Okay, but who do you think the third guy is? Do you think it's
the game?
Yes.
It's probably Red Skull.
It's probably Red Skull, yeah.
Yeah.
There
would have been other super soldiers. There could be Isaiah
Bradley.
Bradley, yeah. Though probably not.
Probably not.
Because he didn't find out about that till much later.
That is true.
Yeah.
Good. That is all the thoughts.
That's all we need. That's all we know. Beetlejuice.
Oh, yes.
Michael Keaton's back, he's Beetlejuice. Winona Ryder's back, she's Beetlejuice's friend or something.
That's right.
I've never seen Beetlejuice in its entirety. I don't know much about, I mean, I know it, but I don't have an opinion.
I don't know anything about it either, really. I mean, I first learned about Michael Keaton in First Batman, so I've not seen Beetlejuice, I don't think.
Because you didn't want it to tarnish your opinion.
Did Beetlejuice come out after Batman?
I think it was before.
Okay, then that's why I haven't seen it. All I know about it is there's a scene where
88, yeah.
Two people in there's a husband and wife and they're like morphing their faces, they're stretching their faces out in a hideous form because they're dead and they're in the afterlife or something. I don't know what it is. There's apparently there's the choir of children, they're singing Deo, you know that song?
Deo.
That's a bit from the first movie and this is meant to be a funny little riff
on
that.
I mean, isn't this a sequel?
Yes.
Yeah. That's cool, man. So, look, Tim Burton's back. It actually looks like a real movie.
I love that.
Do you know what I'm saying when
I
say that?
Sure.
Looks real, made it.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, looks can be deceiving. Maybe they didn't make it.
Yeah, they might.
Maybe this is an ad for Verizon or something.
Talcum powder.
Verizon brand talcum powder.
Yeah.
Hey, you put your phone in your ear too much and your ear's all oily and your phone's oily? Verizon talcum powder.
And go to a doctor,
$29.99 a month.
With your oily, oily ear.
Yeah.
Mm. This is my favorite trailer from the week, though. It's for Alien Romulus.
Sure.
It's Fede Alvarez, who did the Evil Dead 2013 reboot.
Yes, and also something else.
And something else good that I liked.
His credits were in there, and it's like, oh, yeah, not bad.
So it seemed – I watched an interview with him. I can't remember on what –
God, we're good with the memories this week, aren't we?
I wasn't going to bring it up because I'd only just remembered it now.
He's from Uruguay.
Whoa.
Oh, Don't Breathe. He's in the movie Don't Breathe.
That's right, yeah.
Which is about the blind guy and they go into his house?
Yes.
Okay, yeah.
Sorry, it's the movie podcast. But they did an interview with
Great name.
But it is a good name.
Great name. Oh, what's a podcast about movies? It's called
These guys have 103,000 views on this video. How many video views have you got on this video, Mason? How many views have you got on this?
On their video?
No, on this that we're doing now. How many views have you got on
none currently. Exactly. It hasn't been published
Exactly,
yet.
Idiot.
Oh, how many do you have?
I'm not saying I'm better than these guys.
Wow.
I mean, I do think that, but I would never say it.
Right. Anyway, right.
It was a good interview, but he talks about kind of the inspiration behind it and speaking to James Cameron.
Was it earlier Alien movies?
And that was a big part of it.
That's great.
James Cameron. And
these guys are like, well, that's good because we talk about movies. So that's actually checkbox for us. Check.
Big tick.
Not books.
No.
Okay, well then cross.
So James Cameron, he spoke to James Cameron and also Ridley Scott, and they both I think watched his movie and they took different things from it because obviously Aliens, one is a sequel, but they're very different styled movies, but both very interesting and great in their own ways. Yeah,
and both Ridley Scott and James Cameron said, if you mess this up, we'll kill you.
We'll kill you.
We'll team up and we'll kill you.
We haven't killed any of the previous directors that messed these movies up, but we will kill you.
We've had jack of it, quite frankly. Some of these are bad.
Yeah. So apparently, it draws inspiration from those two movies, even looks-wise. I think there's two ships or two stations, I remember him saying. And one of them is the older technology, so it's kind of the technology from the first Alien, and one is more what we see in Aliens.
Sure, okay.
So you got these two kind of different settings. Apparently a lot of it's to do with siblings and all of that. So it's called Alien Romulus because of Romulus and Remus is that thing, or whatever. Yeah. You know, it's a thing. It's a thing in a parable and a fable or whatever. What else was I going to say? I can't remember.
The Romuluses and the Vulcans.
Exactly.
So forth, yes.
Yeah. So this comes out, I think it's August. I'm jazzed for this, man.
I'm jazzed too.
It'd be nice to get a good Alien movie.
Sure. Now this is probably ignoring the events of most of the other Alien movies.
Well, it's
then?
Set between 1 and 2.
Okay, right. Okay.
So
it's
20 years after 1,
very convenient.
Yes.
Because Ripley was in hypersleep for 50 plus years, right?
She was.
There you go.
And
But this movie does have another Ripley in it.
Yeah,
really. A Ripley type person.
Pulse rifle. But seeing the facehuggers like sprinting and jumping.
Yeah, that was good. Yeah. I was going to say it's sort of, you know, there's a certain point with these movies where tension disappears because everybody's got a pulse rifle and a flamethrower and a power loader, and
you've seen these things before. Like
yes,
whatever.
Exactly. Yeah, you want to reclaim the terror of those things. So that looks exciting. I also don't mind the idea that it is a different continuity to the newer one. Like I like some of the newer ones.
Yeah,
people have told.
I don't think he's throwing. I think he said he's not throwing anything out.
Yeah, I think I read something along the lines of it's not going to include the continuity of, you know, remember David in.
The Prometheus. Oh, that's right. That they are
created the
out.
Okay, but I think, you know, I like the idea in that movie that, well, humans created the androids and then the android created the aliens that are destroying the world and that's the evolution there. But I also
You stumbled across it.
Exactly. Or it's you know, it works for me like, well, maybe that's a story that was told and maybe it's not the official story or, you know, what have you and it's a big universe and some people think that the aliens came out through this way and some people...
Yeah.
You know,
so. And maybe he, you know, as I said, like they are this ancient whatever weapon or whatever. And then he also happened to stumble across, he re-engineered it somehow.
Yeah, sure. Mm-hmm.
It's both. Yeah. It's two thing. So, Alien.
As long as we get one of those big stony white guy engineers going, I don't like this. Or I do like it a lot.
I don't want any of that. That's not.
I like it a lot.
Let's not. You know what I'm getting a lot of?
What's that?
Fucking.
Grey hairs.
YouTube. No. No.
Because you've got them all already.
I don't.
You've got them all already.
YouTube shorts.
Okay.
Of like movie facts. And it's AI. It's an AI voiceover. AI images of being like, this is the upcoming Alien movie. And it's just like AI junk images.
I've never
and
had
terrible
that.
Voice.
That's interesting.
I keep being like, I don't want to see these. But they keep popping up.
Yeah, right.
And I like them.
Yeah.
So that's probably why they see them.
I get on Instagram. I get a lot of on the Explore page. I get a lot of
pornos.
Yes, exactly. But also I get a lot of stuff from like it'll be accounts called like True Marvel Facts, and it'll be like True Marvel Fact number 451. One time Magneto was gonna blast everybody, but then Wolverine did a big punch.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's a true Marvel fact. Right, what a good true Marvel fact, you know?
That's really cool. Can you please link that to me?
I'll send those to you.
I want my feed flooded with that. Now, I said That was my favorite trailer of the week. But my real favorite trailer of the week was for Rebel Moon Part 2, The Scar Giver.
Sure.
They're all back. They're actually going to finish their Seven Samurai.
Great.
They started to set up their Seven Samurai in the first movie. Mm-hmm. Now they're going to do it.
They're really going to do it for real.
Do you think, are you worried that they're going to, will they be able to beat the guy they already beat? Will they be able to beat Ed Skrin for a second time?
I don't know, because they took him out of a bag in this trailer and he looks even tougher. And by that I mean the same. He looks exactly the same.
Yeah, he's probably a bit upset though.
I mean, that'll give him
Remember
the resolve.
He had a phone call with the Emperor and the Emperor was like, I'm disapproving of you, Ed Skrin.
That's right.
He had a goo phone call.
He did have the goo phone call when he was in some sort of goo bath getting attacked by tentacles or whatever.
Yeah.
Yep, good.
It's coming out.
Yeah, I mean, we can't stop it, can we?
Would we want to?
No.
I'm glad.
Me too.
Maybe it's the good one.
Yeah.
Have you ever seen a movie that you really, really didn't like, but then a few months later they released another movie as its direct sequel and that one was actually really good?
No.
This will be the first
one. This will be the first one. And then if somebody emails in one day to the podcast and they go, hey, I've got a question. Have you ever watched a movie that's really bad and the sequel is really good? We can go, yes.
Now that you mention
Rebel Moon Parts 1 and 2. So we'll have an answer pre-made for that.
Yeah,
that's
right.
Perfect.
That's really good. That's a great idea. Yep. All right.
So anyway. But then I also reply, do you not listen to the podcast?
Yeah, come on, man. Don't you hear literally everything we say?
Come on.
Because we've talked about that.
To death.
Oh, April 19th. It's coming in hot.
God, that is coming in hot.
That robot's fighting now.
They're barely going to have time to release the super R-rated version of the first one that's super cool and even better.
Are they going to do that beforehand?
I don't know, maybe.
Well, look at this cast.
Yeah, it's a shame, isn't it?
Fucking waste. Maybe it's great. Nobody's defending this movie, though, are they, really?
Would Audio Slave contribute a song for that trailer if they didn't think it was good?
They would. But...
I used that song in the Iron Man trailer in 2008.
That's a good song. Because we were talking about like they stopped making the Zack Snyder zombie movies.
Yes.
And I'd imagine this could go any which way, but they're going to stop the Rebel Moon universe after this. The
Rebel Moon universe?
But do you think people will rally behind the return of the Rebel Moon universe? And I think no, because these aren't iconic characters. People just want to see Zack Snyder tamper with the DC universe forever.
Right, you think that the Snyder fandom isn't necessarily on board with
anything else.
Just Snyder stuff specifically.
No.
Or maybe they're on board with Snyder stuff plus DC and everything he's done before that, because it's like, well, it's more content.
Okay,
But you're like saying after this, if he doesn't have the big characters.
Yeah.
I don't know, maybe people have, they've really grown to love.
Name one character.
Short hair lady?
Yeah, short hair lady. The Scar Giver.
Spider Woman.
No, you're thinking of Madame Web.
I am thinking of Madame Web. God, it's a real shame when has less memorable characters than.
Here we go. Anthony Hopkins' robot character, his name is Jimmy.
Jimmy the robot. I love that.
Ed Skrin's name is Atticus Noble.
Cool. Yep, sure. Great.
That's probably
a reference.
The guy who did the Avatar, who flew on the bird.
Yep.
His name's Tarek.
Tarek. Love that.
Yeah. So these are all.
I love all those guys. They're iconic,
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, good.
Was Jenna Malone the spider?
Yes, she was.
The spider was called Hamada.
Hamada the spider. do you think that's what they referred to her on set as, Hamada the spider?
Almost certainly.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Anyway, we'll see. Anything can be good, including this.
Not this, though.
Including.
Wow.
I got to stop saying that.
Yeah. It feels like you're not committing, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
We should be free to say our real thoughts.
Okay,
I don't think
it's going to be good.
I don't think it's going to be good. I don't think he's going
to. But also, would love to be surprised. This is my new thing. Would love to be surprised.
I agree.
Imagine if it was incredible.
That's what I'm saying. And when we talked about, first Rebel Moon.
Yep.
Rebel Moon, A Child on Fire. I said I would be loved to,
new sci-fi universe.
He's thrown off the shackles of having to work with characters he didn't create. This is all his own work. He's got everybody he wants, all his actor friends.
Budget's
having a great
unlimited.
Time. Limited budget, can do whatever he wants. And this will be it. I'll be able to stand shoulder to shoulder with those Snyder fans and go, yeah, this was a good one. Good call. Good call backing him years ago when he was making bad movies. Now he's made a good movie.
He has made good movies, Mason, which is why I will continue to say anything can be good.
Hmm.
Should we move it along?
Yes.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more.
And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Wow.
Nice.
Yeah.
What you're hearing are the sounds of people everywhere putting on Bombas socks, underwear, and T-shirts made from absurdly soft materials that feel like plush clouds. Yeah, that plush. And the best part? For every item you purchase, Bombas donates another to someone facing homelessness.
Bombas. Big comfort for everyone. Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
When picking a commerce platform for your business, you got two choices. Oh, this piece of mother or sales. I definitely prefer, don't you? Because that's a sound you'll hear when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that's supercharging your selling wherever you sell, online, in person, on social media, and beyond. Shopify is the best all-in-one commerce platform capable of handling your business's complexity no matter how big you grow. Step up to Shopify and harness the best converting checkout and the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. For example, Ruggable, NYX, Magnolia, Cotton, and so many more. Now you're probably thinking, sure, but migrating is going to be a headache. The Shopify App Store has the migration apps that you need to migrate your products, orders, customers, and more from every e-commerce platform to Shopify. And maybe you're one of those people who are like, hey, don't put me in a box. I don't want to be in this box, either metaphorically or for real. Thankfully, Shopify never will, because with Shopify, you can control your brand and business from your storefront look to your back office operations. You know what's really annoying when you're checking out from an online store and you have to put in all your payment details and all sorts of numbers and letters and whatnot? Well, with the Shopify store, they actually remember my shipping address or your shipping address if you were using yours, plus the payment information. So say if I'm on the couch and my wallet is in the kitchen, I didn't even have to get up, which is my favorite thing. Stop leaving sales on the table, switch your business to Shopify and discover why millions trust Shopify as their all-in-one commerce platform to build, grow, and run their business. So sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/weeklyplanet, all lowercase. That's 1 month for just $1 at shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Shopify.com/weeklyplanet. Cha-ching sound effect. It's time to continue a franchise, Mason.
Yes.
You know what this franchise is? It's the Kumail Nanjiani jumps into the franchise at the wrong time trilogy.
Oh, no.
We've got Men in Black International.
Oh,
we've
bad
got
call.
The Eternals.
Bad call.
We've got this. Nice. Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Mm. I've written here Ghostbusters Afterlife, but that's a different Ghostbusters movie.
I've seen two of the people in this movie do stand up.
Whoa, which ones?
Kumail and Patton Oswalt.
Well, I've seen one of them then.
I know.
I like Kumail Nanjiani.
I agree.
And I enjoy, he did that Chippendales show. Did you see that?
Really oh, good. No, I didn't see it, but I heard that was good. Yeah.
It's great. Mm-hmm. Anyway, on a budget of $100 million, it's going to have a roughly...
That's cheap as chips.
No, roughly $45 million US opening, which is on par with the last one, which is good. Mm-hmm. But this one costs $25 million more than the previous one.
Sure.
I don't know
why.
Because
they had to do it in New York City, baby. Yeah, but we've got to get those New York City baby permits.
They film much of it in New York.
Okay.
Also, that last one, they resurrected a dead man. And how is that cheaper?
That's a good point, actually.
Anyway, what do you think the story was?
Oh, come on, mate.
Yep.
All right. Ghostbusters are back in New York, baby.
Yep.
They're going to have a big-time ghostly New York adventure.
They are, aren't they?
All, they're all back, all your faves.
Who?
Paul Rudd.
Every single person.
Yeah, everybody from the last one. Even the ones that were trapped in that that nowhere town who had no prospects and no way to get to New York. Well, they're in New York, baby.
That's right.
And there's even more people.
There's even more.
Now there's ghosts. There's all the ghosts. Even people who weren't in the last one but they were in the original Ghostbusters.
Yep.
They're back as well.
Who? Walter Peck.
Walter Peck's back.
And a thing is coming.
Yeah, spooky ghost thing.
It's going to come.
It is going
to,
yeah.
It's going to get to the thing. And you got to stop it from getting to the thing on time.
Is that what was happening?
You got to block it. It's coming.
I don't think it had to get to the thing.
You got to get there. It was going to get to the because the ghost house was the central point of energy.
Yeah, but I'm not sure they had to get there.
They had. Where was it getting? Why was it going there then?
Just to have a bit of a walk around.
I don't think that's why it was trying to get there.
Anyway, there's a big thing and it's trying to get there. And that Ghostbusters got to stop it. They'll put their foot down.
It's a big frozen thing.
That's right.
Okay, I just want to say this to Ghostbusters fans. I feel like I've been very cruel to you in terms of me saying that all the Ghostbusters stuff is not great except the first Ghostbusters movie, which is pretty good.
Ghostbusters.
And I think, like, watching this, right?
James, are you going to lead up to a big funny joke where you say this sucks?
This is a genuine question. All right. I think this also applies to you because you're a big Ghostbusters fan. Mm-hmm. If you are a Ghostbusters fan,
yes,
are you fucking happy with the shit that they're doing?
Like, are you satisfied? Yeah. Are you satisfied?
I'm hearing a lot of like, well, it had the proton packs and I saw Egon's fucking trench coat or whatever, or like Slimer was in it. But are you happy with these like muddled, watered down, recycled ideas where like the surviving Ghostbusters turn up and they stand next to each other and they shake their proton sticks for 10 seconds and they all fall over? Like, is this what people want out of this fucking franchise?
It's a great question.
Don't you want, like, the Andor of Ghostbusters?
Yeah, right.
Like, I know people don't love new Star Wars. I understand that, but
folks, he's working his way to a big old rant. You can point to things
in Star Wars and be like, that's great.
Yes.
Right? Mm-hmm. I'm talking about the new stuff even. Yes, I can't point to a single fucking thing from Ghostbusters outside of, there's some good comics.
Yep.
That's like, this is definitively great.
Okay, but could you say that about, if we're talking Star Wars, in between Star Wars original trilogy and Andor,
yeah,
there's some stuff that is great. I agree.
I agree.
But I think there's some watered down stuff in there as well.
But there's, again, the emphasis on there's some great stuff.
Yes.
Whereas this, it's the same thing.
Uh-huh.
And like, a thing shows up. It's basically, the villain is the same villain that they've always had. It's a thing from a whatever, and it's trying to get out, and it needs to get to a thing, and let's assemble the Ghostbusters. Except this time you got to assemble the team from 2021, and there's 18 of them, and then you got to assemble whoever's left and alive.
Yep.
And then I feel like there are people giving it their all, like Dan Aykroyd's coming in, and he's in this a lot. And I feel his passion for the paranormal, and that comes through. And he's got fun little adventures.
But does he know he's in a movie though?
I don't. And even Ernie Hudson, they've developed that character he's not like. There's even a scene where Dan Aykroyd's character and Ernie Hudson's character have an actual conversation,
like they had in the car in the first one.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But then Bill Murray just rolls in. He's just kind of stumbling about. I'm here too.
Yeah.
Here's a quip. Uh-huh. What are you even doing? Why do you do these? Why do you? You clearly don't like them.
Maybe he must be in them. We've talked about this before, but the three original Ghostbusters, the actors had some sort of rule where that sequel could go ahead without their say so, even if they weren't in them. But I suspect there is a further clause that they didn't know about that meant they must be in them. I'll tell you this, James. I would say generally, your criticisms are valid. I would say as a fan of especially the original Ghostbusters, I did enjoy this. But I think some of those criticisms you pointed out are very valid. Like there are so many characters in this.
Mm.
I think, as the movie came to the end, I think they clearly had planned, like, okay.
It feels like a reshoot as well. We'll talk about why.
Yeah, I suspect by the end, like, there are so many characters in this that when you return to something, you go, oh, they're in this. I remember now. But
because there's Patton Oswalt, James Acaster is in it as well, who I like. Kumail Nanjiani. There's a new people.
Finn Wolfhard's friends from the previous movie who were trapped in the nowhere town.
Yep.
They've made it to, they've found
podcasters
various,
here.
Yeah, they've found various means to get them to New York City. And there's so many characters, but I feel like they all had a role to play, and I think that, as contrived as some of it is, I think by the end we reach a satisfying conclusion with them at the end. Like there's
no.
Okay, fine. But I feel like, you know, I enjoyed all the characters, even the new guys, and there are so many new guys.
Yeah.
I feel like it all came together in a satisfying way at the end. And I think
it's pretty much also the same thing that happened in the last one, I guess is a spoiler, but you've seen this movie.
But that's franchise movie, mate.
No, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's what my problem with it as well is that, like, the old team get together and you get to see, like, Janine's there now and she's got a wrist ghost proton pack.
Yeah, sure, sure.
And like even she suits up. But for what? Again, the four of them stand in a line and they just, and I can imagine them filming on the day and they're just shaking the proton packs.
Yeah, and then they go,
whoa, and they fall over.
Yeah.
And then, but then someone else comes and they really zap the thing.
Look, if I can be critical about this, James, if you'll allow me to be critical about this movie for just a minute. In between your gushing praise of it.
It's not even as good as the 2021 one.
I think it's better than the 2021.
At least that was not like, I mean, it was Ghostbusters again, but not the whole thing.
If I can be critical of this one, James, if you'll allow me for a moment, stop saying how good it is. I think they've perhaps overcorrected in hedging their bets with this one because, as we all know, they whipped out the 2016 one all-girl Ghostbusters, no boys allowed Ghostbusters, and people hated it because it was like, well, we don't even the last one's not even in continuity. It's a whole separate – it's all gone. And I think with the last one, they were like, okay, we need to sort of – pass the torch to the new generation of Ghostbusters. And I think in this one, they're like, let's do a tiny bit more of passing the torch. Let's get him in the firehouse. Let's do that. Yeah. And then if there is another sequel, then we really need this particular audience and general audiences to say, okay, well, the previous Ghostbusters approve of this new team.
Yeah.
And they've worked together and now we can move forward with the next adventure kind of thing.
Sure, just take us three movies to get there. And look, I don't even think this is dreadful.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's so middle of the road.
Uh-huh.
I think McKenna Grace is still like a good lead.
Uh-huh.
I think she's a great Egon's granddaughter. And I like Finn Wolfhard, though he's barely...
Are they saying Spangler now? Did they say Spengler in the... Have they said Spengler? I feel like they've said Spengler in every other movie and now they're going with Spangler. It feels kind of like somebody went, oh, you know, it's Spangler.
Yeah.
They actually say Spangler and they went, oh, no.
I didn't notice that at all.
Will we have to change it?
I thought it was Spangler.
Mm. Yeah, I think I, you know, again...
But I feel like they're trying to be like, this is an all-ages adventure.
Yes.
And I think you do disservice to...
People
who like ghost blowjobs. They're like the original movie. Mm-hmm. The humor doesn't work as well because you can't be specific and weird and niche. It's just general.
Oh,
whatever.
See. Okay, right.
Like, you know, like the mayor turns up at the end and it's Walter Peck and then Bill Murray's there and he's just like, hey, it's you.
But then the crowd.
And someone in the crowd goes, hey, shut up, Dickless, or whatever. Yeah. It's like, and that's it. Mm. Also, they all end that way. They all walk into the street and everyone fucking cheers. It's like the same thing.
Well, I cheer, James.
Also, the ghost containment unit blows up and all the ghosts get out.
Oh, it's Ghostbusters 1.
Exactly. And you don't even see... like the ghost really running amok.
Yeah,
you know?
Sure, okay,
it's just vague ghosts just kind of whizzing about. Like the Frozen Empire is like 15 minutes of this movie and maybe in real time.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the villain's like a skeleton with horns. Mm. You can freeze people sometimes, but not everybody because some people survive, even though they froze in the trailer.
Well, James, well done. You've convinced me that I didn't have fun watching this movie.
You're allowed to like this movie. I've been to the Ghostbusters Reddit. They seem very happy with it.
Mm.
And I genuinely good if you like it, but don't you want something that elevates it or takes it in a different direction or they go into different dimensions or time travel or... they establish new characters properly and they don't just have original characters show up and go, I'm here.
Mm.
I'm also like, don't you want something?
I'm here.
Don't you want something else from this?
Yes, I do, but I quite like this one. I'm afraid so. I mean, it felt to me like it was another episode in the day-to-day humdrum life of Ghostbusters.
Then, but it's also world ending and it's like, well, you know?
Yeah.
But it's not. Anyway, there's a ghost girl in it as well.
Oh, there is a ghost girl.
Too many storylines. It's too many.
There were probably too many, yeah.
Yeah.
But
And they're just trying to heavily market these marshmallow men.
Oh.
Just drop it. It's fucking...
You think
they're
selling those?
It's over.
I didn't know they were selling those anyway.
I'm sure they are. It's like a Minions kind of memeable whatever.
Okay, sure. They could do like webisodes about the marshmallow little babies or whatever.
I don't know. Am I the only one who's like, that's done now?
Yes.
Okay.
Look, to me it felt like a fun... I feel like it was quite good and fun, and I like things I like about it. What did you like about it, James? I like Paul Rudd and Carrie Coon as the mum and the maybe he's the dad. I thought that was quite fun.
What if you did like, you know, like Evil Dead Rise? Just a thing, like take one or two of them.
Yes.
And just do a like an isolated story where it's not just the first Ghostbusters movie.
Yeah.
Like they're trapped with an entity and a whatever.
I mean,
I don't know.
Well, I mean, they could, I think they
maybe
could.
Maybe they go into the afterlife.
I think they could do that, but I think it's.
Well, so the budget would be like half of what this
is. Yeah, but I think we need this one. Because otherwise, I genuinely think we need this one for certain people to accept that this is the new status quo. Going
I think
forward.
Then you're only pleasing people who want to see Slimer. Like, I don't you also want to get like the people like the new Evil Dead movie didn't do really well because it was exclusively original Evil Dead fans. It was like this is a good horror movie its own.
That's true.
And I know you could just go and you could bring a kid to this and they're like, yeah, whatever. Slimer eats the pizza and whatever.
Oh, he ate that.
What's
pizza.
Funny? Like, what jokes?
Let me think. I can get here. Let me do it.
The Kumail Nanjiani, Bill Murray conversation was all right, I
that
guess.
Was pretty funny, yeah, I like that.
Again, it's that same thing that Bill Murray did in the other movies where he sits down for like a psychic interview.
Yeah, it's the
same thing.
That's true. I liked it.
Is he contractually obligated to just do the same thing? Is he refused to do other things in this movie?
Maybe his agent, like he's got the contract there and he's like, Bill Murray will not stand up.
God, he looks so bored.
Doesn't he? You know what struck me?
And not in the fun way.
Because we talked about Afterlife a few weeks ago. We did a movie commentary on it.
I need to apologize to that movie.
It struck me, and I just thought about it this week, that Sigourney Weaver is like a staggering beauty, and she remains such.
Yep.
And like,
what are you going to say about Bill Murray?
Bill Murray is a mummy now.
Bill Mummy.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I mean, look at Ernie Hudson.
Yeah.
Incredible. This could be set 5 years after the first for him.
Look, and again, I enjoyed the fact that I liked the fact that Dan Aykroyd had a more substantial role.
I agree. I think Dan Aykroyd is genuinely invested in these. And I think the same can be said for Ernie Hudson. So, but maybe pair, I don't know, them up more. I don't know. I don't know what to do with this.
Uh-huh.
Let's do spoilers.
Okay, cool. I'm not even going to say
it's the worst movie
there
ever.
You go.
Because this is clearly what people want.
Mm.
Just this.
Yeah.
Just this again and again.
I think the next one they're probably going to mix it up if we get another one.
Mm.
But, yeah, look, I feel like
I'm Walter Peck. I want to close down the Ghostbusters. You did this already. And then another guy did it in the second movie.
Mm.
Come on, man.
Mm. I think if you like this franchise more, and I think some people who like this franchise more are like, this is what we want. This is a bit of fun, and I like to see, you know.
Aim higher.
I won't. I refuse. I don't know
what it is about this franchise that upsets me.
I liked Dan Aykroyd and McKenna Grace and podcast getting in the little, little motorcycle on the sidecar.
No, yeah. See, a new thing. There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. A new thing.
Yeah.
It's got a little like rail gun kind of thing.
Yeah.
In it.
I like the family dynamic.
Oh, the lions came to life from the stood next to the lion in the first movie.
That's so true.
Well, the librarians here.
Okay, I'll tell you what. Yeah,
the librarians here.
I think there was some definite stuff where I think they probably went too overboard with the fan service. There's the moment where Dan Aykroyd goes into the New York Public Library and we see the librarian goes from the first one, but there's no payoff there.
No.
I reckon if they
did. You had to have known that.
Yeah, that's true. And then we see the main librarian guy there and he's like, oh, it's this guy. I don't like this guy from earlier. I kind of feel like I would have loved to have seen a moment where Dan Aykroyd's character and the library ghost have a little conversation.
Yeah.
And she's like, sorry.
He should say sorry.
I was having a bad 100 years, you know, kind of thing.
I also think Kumail Nanjiani, like, he should be in this more because there's okay. We're doing spoilers because he's the fire master. He's not the key.
He's a different guy.
Master or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
he's the fireman. And he kind of disappears, and at the end, he comes back, and it's just like our fire powers.
Yes.
And that's part. And then we'll zap the ghost in a slightly different way.
Yep.
And we'll contain it.
Figure it out.
We'll knock its horns off. And
that's right.
But it's not even as good as the villain from the second one. The second villain.
Vigo.
Yeah, Vigo. Well, Vigo, I think, is also a pretty good villain.
Yeah, I mean, this was a kind of nothing. I'll concede, James.
Yeah.
And I'll stop
Where's
you
there. Where's the personality?
I know you love this villain, but I'm going to say he wears the personality. You know what I mean? He's just a guy with some horns. And he's yeah, no, you're right. But, And again, I think it is that sort of Marvel syndrome.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's because this is in some way this is kind of Marvel in a different coat of paint.
Absolutely it is. It's Sony Marvel.
It's when you have such a big ensemble of heroic characters, the good guys, and you're like, well, we want to spend so much time with them, and then you don't spend enough time making a compelling villain.
Yeah.
There's not enough time, and there's no space to go, okay, well, what's the history of this character? We're gonna see it expand, you know?
Imagine if you teamed up, like Bill Murray.
I'm listening.
And McKenna Grace for like they have their own adventure kind of movie.
Sure.
And that's the movie. And I don't know whether he'd do that. You could really give it to any of the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, sure.
And like you can have the other ones at the start or whatever.
I would probably do McKenna Grace, and it's McKenna Grace, right?
Sure.
Not Mackenzie?
Might be.
I confuse all the McKennas and the Mackenzies. I would say her and Dan Aykroyd.
Yep.
I would love to see if they're going to do a sequel.
It is McKenna Grace.
If this makes enough money to warrant a sequel, I would love I would love to see maybe Ray and McKenna's character on a little motorbike adventure. I think that would be fun. They go a little bit out of town and they investigate a haunted house.
Even a TV series?
Yeah.
Like a live action something?
Sure.
I don't know, man. Mm. I think there's some stuff cut in this as well. Do you remember the bit in the trailer where they're all standing on the roof in their red jackets and they're like, whoa, whoa.
Yeah.
None of them are wearing, only two of them wearing the red jacket. Paul Rudd is not wearing the red jacket in this. Like that was a big deal.
No red on Rudd.
Yeah, and I think maybe that red jacket thing maybe was tied into defeating the villain. Also, the girl from the first movie, the last movie,
is
an intern. She gets frozen in the trailer and you see her like freeze over.
And
that rooftop scene she has with Finn Wolfhard looks like a reshoot because they took out the other rooftop scene.
Yeah,
so I don't know whether she was died or was frozen for the rest of the movie and we have to bring her back in.
I think they trimmed some of this for gore.
Horror?
For example, the key element is this orb which contains this ice ghost.
Yeah.
And I think potentially and James Acaster is a sort of a ghost researcher that's been hired by Winston to do more. He's a new Egon kind of character. I enjoyed his work there.
Mm. I like him.
But I suspect he might have lost an arm in the trailer it looks like everybody's being killed by this and the plot armor saves all the main characters. Everybody lives. And you hate that, don't you?
Yeah, I do. And the ghost, it's the same problem that the end of Jurassic World Dominion had, mm-hmm. where like now you've got 19 characters now.
That's true.
You have to do some culling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Something else I was going to say that I didn't like or did like. I don't know. Oh yeah, there's a machine that you can turn you into a ghost for a minute.
Oh yeah,
mm-hmm. And you'd get in that. Because I'll go in. Uh-huh. It's going to turn me into a ghost, but then it's only for 2 minutes, and then I'm going to be able to jump back in my body. Are you sure? That looks like a vending machine.
Oh, sorry, the teenage girl didn't make the super correct decision, James.
I think any person.
Sorry, character. All your characters aren't perfect.
Nobody would do that in the world.
No,
let alone somebody that intelligent.
Mm.
I don't know. Anyway, there was a better way to have the ghost get out of the ghost ball.
Hey, look at me. I'm Phoebe.
He's got big glasses on.
Put big glasses on.
Big fake glasses on. Okay, here's what I think. I don't think they're going to do smaller stories.
I'm playing chess.
This is what they're going to do.
Yes.
I suspect.
Uh-huh.
They're going to do a Ghostbusters multiverse story. They're going to bring back everything.
I think they wouldn't dare.
I think they're going to be like, look, it's all the Ghostbusters team up. From everything.
I don't think they will.
They need somewhere to go, and Sony love a multiverse.
I shall put one human dollar.
Yep.
On an official Weekly Planet bet.
Yep.
That they will not bring back the Girl Ghostbusters.
I think that will do it if this makes enough money, but mm-hmm. I'm not sure whether you could justify the cost of doing that because all of those people would cost a lot of money. Also,
that's true.
Plus,
yeah.
You've got to bring back original Ghostbusters. Plus, you've probably got to bring back. You're probably going to have a flashback with young Egon Spengler.
That's
and then
true.
Maybe you do the animated.
You bring
version
in the animated Ghostbusters.
Whatever,
yeah.
Maybe you could even bring in the 1970s, the Ghostbusters.
Yeah, okay.
I think there is a road there that they have definitely considered. We've seen it in the comics.
Yeah. It wouldn't shock me if they bring in the Filmation Ghostbusters with the haunted car and the gorilla and whatever. I think I reckon there's a huge red flag over 2016 Ghostbusters.
I completely agree. But have you ever known Sony to make a good decision?
They've never made a good decision.
This is what I'm saying. I'm not like...
They made Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Yeah,
I'm not saying that...
Good Lord.
This is a great idea. Mm. I think it's bad. But yeah. there is no way the Sony multiverse, all that multiverse shit they've been doing, they have not considered this.
They're like 4 or 5 years behind every other. They're 4 or 5 years behind Marvel, who have already discovered to the dismay that not everybody loves multiverse stuff if it's bad.
Yep. Anyway, I got some tweets here from people who saw it. RG says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod, just saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire plus The Last Firebender. Best movie ever. There you go.
Uh-huh.
Mike says, I enjoyed Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, but it's kind of hard to celebrate the success when they caused the problems in multiple ways. I'm with the mayor. Shut them down. Absolutely. And Cappy Kid says, just got out of Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Someone should talk to Dan Aykroyd. He's playing a character and not himself. So, best movie ever. So, yeah, again, I think the reviews, I think it's like, Rotten Tomatoes is like 45%, which is also nearly half of critics were more positive. I don't think that's as bad as – people don't know how to read Rotten Tomatoes.
That's true.
They think 45% is 45 out of 100.
Everybody gave it a 45.
Yeah,
around 45,
which is not how that works.
Mm-hmm, yeah.
But the audience score is good. And again, in the Ghostbusters fucking Reddit, people are like, I loved it. And I loved seeing – all my friends from the 80s.
I wonder if that is also because we have a point of view character in the form of Paul Rudd, who loved original Ghostbusters.
Point Rudd.
What?
just doing riffs, mate.
Oh, that was a good riff, I think. It was a good riff. If only I'd jumped on that.
You could have
and added
continued the
okay.
riff, and yet you have not.
Point
Break.
Point Break. Point Cook.
Oh, yeah.
It's a place.
It is a
Australia.
Place. It's my favorite place.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Do you think Paul Rudd point of view character, though? That's what you're
Paul
saying.
Paul Rudder is the audience.
Direction.
Direction, yeah.
Yeah, man, yeah. I love that. I love
Maybe every movie should have a guy who loved – the Avengers had Coulson who loved
– The Avengers.
He loved Captain America specifically. But if pressed, I'm sure he would say, I love all Marvel superheroes, he would say.
Yeah, if I had to choose. I simply couldn't.
Mm.
Yeah.
What does Madame Web have? Does Madame Web have a guy who loves Spider-Man?
Mm.
Not really.
This is better than Madame Web. I just want to – Nice. Just so people know. Okay, don't get it twisted.
Mm.
I don't even think this is terrible.
Yeah.
Just raise your expectations.
I think upon a rewatch, when we inevitably rewatch this, I think you're going to be like, I liked it more than I didn't.
Maybe.
Yeah.
But I'm never going to rewatch this.
That's a shame. That's a shame.
I'll have to for something, won't I?
Yeah.
Again, I don't even think it's terrible. I'm just like, are we all watching the same movie again and again? Am I the only one who thinks that?
I think what is happening here is he is the opinion of the big Ghostbusters fans, and he's your opinion, and I think they're slowly aligning. And one day you'll be like, wow, I loved Ghostbusters 7, you'll say.
Which is...
Kumail and James A. Caster and Patton Oswalt go on a little adventure.
Does that include the reboot, Ghostbusters 7?
I don't know.
Because we're already at 5.
I don't know how to count. You know what's interesting? It is wild to me that... At the very least, Patton Oswalt and Kumail didn't have a scene together.
Yeah, they know each other.
They know each other. Yeah. I'm wondering if that's maybe just because they all – I mean, sure, I'm sure it's all because they all filmed on separate days and in different locations and wherever they happen to be currently, you know, whatever. But it is weird that the two like – well, I don't know. I guess I like that we had some, you know, the old SNL guys and the old school and then like a bunch of new up and coming. I feel like there's a lot of potential there, and I think we need one more.
Yeah.
And I like this one enough.
Well,
it's good enough.
Good enough. I know I've said that before. Good enough.
Mm. Right. Anything can be good. And Ghostbusters
enough.
Was good.
Enough.
Good enough.
All right. Should we move on to the next segment?
Yeah.
What is it?
It's what we're reading.
Yep.
What are we going to read?
I'm doing the thing. What are we reading today? All right. We're just some stuff was said.
Well, I got to tell people it was a rude Obi-Wan riff, and it'll never
it
be released to the public. It was too rude, if anything.
And we didn't record. Oh, we did record on the backup.
So it's on the backup.
Yeah.
So for $100, we'll send you a very bad quality version
of a riff that only we would like.
That's right.
Yeah. All right. This is where we talk about what we've been watching or whatever.
That's right.
What do you got?
We both watched the movie Roadhouse.
Roadhouse.
The Amazon original movie Roadhouse.
I thought it was all right.
It's pretty good, right?
Yeah, it's got some
pretty good. Yeah.
I think without Jake Gyllenhaal 100% committing to this I don't think it works as well.
Yeah.
I know we talked about how they're doing the stunts in this now. Mm-hmm. They're doing fake punches, which I don't like. Do real punches.
Mm, do real punches.
Really hurt each other.
Yeah.
I think it's different enough from the first one as well. It's not the same.
Yeah, because we recently semi-rewatched it in that we did a commentary on it, so we're mostly not paying attention, but we were paying some attention.
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of more of a... They've taken some liberties with the character of Dalton, which was Patrick Swayze in the original, and it's Jake Gyllenhaal now. In the original, he was a sort of a PhD, but he also bounced, and he was the world's most famous best bouncer.
Mm.
In this him being a bouncer is his first try at it.
Yeah.
He's an ex-MMA guy who left the industry for reasons.
Yep.
And
for good reasons.
Yeah, and now for good reasons. And he's sort of crossing the country doing a sort of a grift.
Yeah.
Where he finds sort of underground fighting tournaments and he what would you say he does? He intimidates people into giving up as opposed to fighting him, and he just sort of wins by default.
Yeah.
Kind of thing.
Absolutely.
Right? So he's a little bit of a...
But he's seemingly kept his training up.
Yeah. He's a sort of a morally gray kind of character, and then he's offered a job at...
To do a roadhouse.
$5,000 a week to how much? And what are they turning around in that roadhouse if he's
more
getting
than that,
five grand a week?
Well, think about it long term. Mm. Even if that's the profits from the week, and he cleans up that bar.
Yeah,
it's got Billy Magnuson.
It's true.
Got Conor McGregor.
Yeah, that's right. This is his first acting role, I believe, Conor McGregor.
And you can tell. I mean, he's going all out. Yeah. Real life bad guy. Yes, but he's going for it. It's like a GTA character.
I was exactly. I liked his sort of. He's got that chaotic energy.
Yeah.
It feels like kind of Statham in his first Fast and Furious appearance, but a bit more manic.
Yeah.
He's a little bit like Statham in Crank, probably.
Yeah, okay.
He's a combination of various Statham. I was talking to a mutual friend of ours, an Irish mutual friend of ours.
Who?
I'll tell you later.
Okay.
And he was
Sean Bean.
Yeah, it was Sean Bean. And he was saying that apparently Conor McGregor's accent is getting more and more stereotypical.
Oh,
like
okay.
In real life. Like I've never heard him speak before, but like he's really kind of leaning into this whole vibe to it. Yeah, I think I liked we got Billy Magnuson as kind of the who people would know from No Time to Die and Aladdin and a bunch of other stuff.
No Time to Die?
Yeah, he is the guy that Felix. It's him and Felix Leiter have like a.
Oh
remember?
Yeah,
he's
shit!
In
yeah, I completely forgot
yeah,
about
he's
that.
Good. He's good.
Like he should be the Flash.
I see that. I see that.
Or Guy Gardner.
What about American Psycho? We've talked about recently.
Oh, he'd be a good American Psycho.
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah. I'm talking like we have to cast him in a comic book property though.
Oh, then The Flash.
Yeah.
We'll do another The Flash movie. We'll just knock one of those out.
Please.
People will be excited for it. I think this movie was pretty solid.
It does also feel like a streaming movie.
Some people would beg to differ, but I saw some people go, oh, it's going to get a cinema release.
Well, yeah.
I don't know if it'd do well in cinema release.
Feels like a streaming movie because I watched it streaming.
Yeah.
But I would have gone to see this.
Yeah, same.
Yeah.
Good
fight scenes.
Yeah, there is an interesting moment in it, and I guess I knew in my heart of hearts it would not be explored, but there's a moment after like the 10th massive all-in bar fight brawl where Gyllenhaal's character Dalton says to the owner of the bar, what is wrong with the people in this town?
Yeah.
And I'm like, obviously it's just, it's just a rough part of town, but like the level at which people go insane at the drop of a hat, I'm like, surely at the end they'll be like, oh yeah, there's MDMA
there's lead
in the water supply. Yeah. Everybody's been drinking this LSD infused water and everybody is seeing dragons all the time, which is why they.
Cause the brawls are just, you turn to the person you're with and punch them.
That's right.
That kind of, I mean, it's intentionally over the top. I like Arturo Castro as well as one of the henchmen.
Is like, he the guy
who breaks his arm and he's always happy to see.
What is he in? What's he been in recently? Because I've seen him in something recently. He's a sort of
Is in Mr. Corman.
No, that was definitely.
He's in Narcos. He's in The Menu. There you go. He's in The Menu.
That might have been where I've seen him recently. Yeah,
I like him.
Mm. I also like him.
He's in Broad City, I think, as well.
That might be it. Yeah.
Anyway, I like him.
Good stuff.
Anyway, Roadhouse, it's free on Amazon Prime. Completely free. You don't have to pay a single cent for it.
Again, I didn't see any of the bunch of stuff that is out at the cinema currently.
No. Well, we're all next week because they're going to see Kong X Kong.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Kong X Kong.
Kong X Kong.
Yeah.
He's been in Gorilla Jail and now he's out.
It's cool.
I didn't see Love Lies Bleeding. I was thinking about it, but then I didn't. But then there's other stuff.
There's other stuff we got to see. Mm. Also, school holidays coming up, so that's a nightmare for cinema times.
Oh.
So enjoy that.
I don't think little kids are seeing Love Lies Bleeding.
They might. I'm going to see Kung Fu Panda 4.
The Kristen Stewart lesbian bodybuilding
yes.
Heist movie.
Of course they are.
They are? You think so?
It's great.
Yeah.
Apparently it's really good.
I've heard it's good.
I'm going to see Kung Fu Panda 4 as well. It's not out here because they line that with school holidays. Anyway, shall we do the next segment of the show?
It's called Letters. We're going to do it.
The classic one was Letters, oh letters, we love you. Some letters, they're only a day away.
Now they're here right now. We're going to do Letters. Playing that out of my new phone with its beautiful speakers, I've only just heard all the beautiful harmonies in that version.
It's very good, isn't it? People should hear the actual version, not the version that you play through your phone.
I don't think people should.
Okay, you're probably right. Yeah, just listen to it here.
Play it through your Dolby Atmos.
Okay, that's a good idea. So if you do want to reach the show, you can hashtag weeklyplanetpod on Twitter or weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
I went to pop up some letters on my phone, but the first thing that came up was this photo of Carl Barron.
Why do you have that?
I don't know.
Can I have that?
I'll send it to you.
Do you text it to me?
Yeah, I'll text it to you.
Just take a photo of it and then send it to me.
Okay.
Did I say how you reach the show? Did I do that?
Yes, you
do. Do it automatically.
You do it automatically. That's
okay, cool. You got a letter?
This is from, oh boy, here we go. They're from Ireland and their name is Dara Smith.
Dara.
D-A-R-R-A-G-H.
Sounds
I'm going to say Dara.
Sounds like a river.
Hi, lads. Just wanted to thank you for all the great laughs and crack you've provided to me for the past 2 years.
We don't do that.
It's crack in the Irish sense, C-R-A-I-C.
Oh, no. We don't do that. We do crack.
We've been sending him drugs in the mail. Yes. That's right. Do you remember the Jim Owen film, The Crack?
I do.
Yeah.
Was it good?
Maybe. Probably. Living in Cavan Island isn't exactly the most exhilarating or hijinks-infused, and both Caravan and Garbage and the podcast are always highlights of my week.
We live in cosmopolitan Hollywood.
That's true. With the Australian Grand Prix looming this weekend in Melbourne,
that's on.
The avid F1 fan in me is gearing up to get up at 4 and 5 a.m. to watch qualifying and the race. I thought this was the optimal time for you boys to discuss your favourite racing film in all cinema. Whether it's the Wachowski Speed Racer or James Mangold's Ford versus Ferrari, it'd be interesting to hear your thoughts.
I do like Ford versus Ferrari.
I'm going to expand this to also Best Car Chase.
No, I'm not. I'm going to bring that right back and say that's not allowed.
Wow.
That's not a race. It's a car
chase. When was the last time you saw Speed Racer?
I've never seen it.
I've got to rewatch it because I watched it. See, I don't think I saw it at cinemas. Or did I?
God, this guy. This fucking doesn't remember anything.
No, I don't. It's gone. All my memory's gone.
No, you didn't like it. Did you?
Yeah, no, I don't like it. But maybe I'm wrong. People love it.
There's a million videos on YouTube that are like, actually, Speed Racer is good.
There's a huge contingent of people on the internet who are like, this is the best racing movie of all time. It's maximalist and it's beautiful and it's a love letter to cinema and cinematography and driving a thing. And Scott Wolf was there.
Driving Miss Daisy. That's
yes.
Is Scott Wolf in it? Or
yeah,
you mean Matthew Fox?
Oh. Yeah, it is Matthew Fox. He's Racer X.
Doesn't remember anything.
It was somebody in Party of Five. And it wasn't Neve Campbell because she's in the screen.
It wasn't Jennifer Love Hewitt.
It wasn't
Scott Wolf, as mentioned.
It was not Scott Wolf.
And whoever else.
Yep.
Who's the fifth?
It's a young lady.
Lacey Chabert.
Lacey Chabert.
Chabert.
Chabert. Lacey Chabert.
Yeah, man. Anyway, best racing. There's a movie called Rush, which was directed by Ron Howard.
Oh, yes.
I like that one. I guess if we're talking car chase movies, Drive.
Yeah, okay.
Drive.
There are some car chases in that thing.
Thank you. Okay.
I would say the opening chase sequence in that is really interesting because it's entirely from the perspective of inside the car.
Oh, no, I don't like that. I want to pretend I'm driving the car from the outside like a video game.
Oh, terrific.
Yeah.
One of the best car chase movies is The Blues Brothers, of course,
which
is all car chases, but especially the scene where they go through a mall.
Yeah, that's good.
Because they had to destroy a mall.
That's
they
true.
They had to build and destroy a mall.
They wouldn't do that now.
No.
Mad Max, that's a car race film. What about any of the Fast and Furious, I guess? You like the movie Need for Speed from 2013?
No, I don't. I've seen 5 minutes off and it was so boring. But maybe it's a Speed Racer style thing. Maybe people are like, this is incredible and actually beautiful, beautiful.
Talladega Nights.
That one.
Ford versus Ferrari. The Cars trilogy.
Yep.
These are all good.
They should do the Ferrari movie, but in the Cars universe.
I saw Ferrari.
Uh-huh. What'd you think?
I didn't mind it.
Okay. How's Penelope Cruz in that movie?
She's all right.
That's great.
What else? I saw Gran Turismo last year in D-Box. I had to see Ghostbusters in D-Box. It cost me $31 for a chair that shook that I turned off.
Now, now, as I understand it, it shook every time there was a joke. Is that?
Yeah, so never.
Yes, but it'll be shaking now because we did a joke. Yes.
Bullet, there you go, Mason's one of your
Bullet's
faves.
Bullet's a very good car chase.
Ford versus
Ferrari.
You've got
to see it on the big, big screen.
The Farlap movie about a horse.
Mm, sure. Mm-hmm.
It's a good movie.
Mm.
Herbie Goes to Whatever. Yeah, he did.
What does that mean?
Yeah, he did. This guy. Steve McQueen did a Le Mans movie or whatever.
He did Le Mans.
Yeah. Cool. Mm-hmm. All good movies. So, yeah, good racing movies.
I agree.
It's probably others, but who's got the time? Right. I got one here from Girl in the Reflection.
Yes.
She says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. I'm a big Sam Rockwell fan from way back to Guy Fleegman in Galaxy Quest. Great movie. Mm. If you were to cast him as someone else in the MCU, who would it be? What about the DCU? Any role do you think he'd fit especially well? Yes, more dog time, please. We don't control dog time.
No, that's true.
It's not mandated.
Yeah, currently we've got Ollie in the front room there, and she is not interested in dog time. She's only interested when we get excited about the jokes in Ghostbusters.
Correct, which is never. Was that already your joke? Did I explain over explain your joke?
Yeah, but that's
jokes
that normally attracts Ollie when one of us over explains the other guy's joke.
Heard it.
Yeah.
Well, I'm just going to go DCU. So yeah. Sam Rockwell. He's wanting something out of left field. What about Commissioner Gordon? Sam Rockwell.
That's pretty good. That's
what about the sports reporter guy in Superman? But I think he's already been cast.
Sports reporter guy?
Yeah, the sports guy who writes the Daily Planet. He's like a muscly kind of jock guy who works with Superman.
Are you thinking of Bulldog from the sitcom Frasier?
It's kind of like that, but not
Sure.
There's a dude like that in Superman.
Is there?
Yeah.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
I love that.
What about this?
Well, now Ollie's going nuts.
Yeah,
because we mentioned Bulldog from the movie Frasier.
Yeah.
The TV series Frasier.
That's right.
Not the movie version of Frasier.
And I've put also, because I already wrote this prior, and I mentioned this one earlier, but Ted Kord or Blue Beetle?
Ted Kord, who is Blue Beetle?
Booster
Gold?
Booster Gold.
Booster Gold. Yeah, okay, yeah. Because, I mean, what's he got? He's got rhythm.
Yep.
He's funny.
He can fight.
He can be kind of schlubby.
Yep.
He
can be on the moon.
So fat Batman.
Yeah.
Out of shape Batman.
Love that.
Yeah.
He could be on the moon.
I agree.
He would be a good Joker.
Yes, I think I see where you're going with that.
Widow's peak, smile.
There is definitely a Batman villain in him, I think.
Yeah.
But what
Scarecrow?
No.
Bane?
No.
Brewster's millions?
No.
As in Bruce Wayne's millions?
No, he's got to be like...
Penguin?
No.
Riddler?
No.
Catman?
Maybe because there's a version of Catman where he's like depressed.
Okay.
Maybe depressed Catman.
Great.
Because there's like a version where he's all sad and then he turns his life around. So we don't want to see that bit.
Okay.
We want to see him where he's sad.
The sad part.
Sad Catman. Okay,
great.
There it is.
Done.
Nice. Here's Dustin. His name is from Dustin.
Dustin.
I was listening to the podcast while riding a bus from the city.
Oh,
we
must
almost
be nice.
Hit that bridge in Footscray that always gets hit by buses and trucks. Like
love
10
that
times
bridge.
A year. The Montague Street Bridge.
Yeah, man.
We came to a sudden stop. Which was good. Everyone on the bus was okay, and me and the person next to me had a good laugh.
Why was the bus even going that way?
I don't
know. Shouldn't it's on a route, shouldn't it not go that way?
Maybe they hired the bus to crash into the bridge.
Yeah, maybe they did.
But I just saw Ghostbusters Frozen Empire, so I'd be sad if that was the last movie I saw before dying in a horrible bus crash. Yeah, that's true. Love the show. Keep up the good work. Thank you, Dustin.
We'll always keep up the good work.
That's true.
And that bus needs to get it together.
Yeah. For people who don't know, there's a bridge in Melbourne called the Montague Street Bridge.
It's too low.
It's on Montague Street. That's the correct height, but it's got a million signs leading up to it that say there's a height restriction. You will crash into this bridge.
Yeah.
Please don't.
If you're higher than this, you can't do it.
Yeah.
But people do it.
And there's so many warnings. There's so many ways to turn off as well.
Yep.
And people are just like, nah, I got this.
It's, yeah. I feel
by that I mean they don't read any of the signs because I don't think they apply to them.
No. And they don't.
Yep.
This is from Dan M, who says, hashtag Weekly Planet Pod. Waited patiently for Jumanji Welcome to the Jungle to appear on the list, but by the time they got to number 4, I realized it wasn't there. Mm. So this last week we talked about legacy sequels. Fits all the criteria, a lot of fun, and probably worth 4 meso thumbs up at least. Yeah, there's a few that weren't on there. Mad Max Fury Road wasn't
on
there.
Well, Joshua was emailed in. I said I listened to the episode this week. Couldn't believe the list of legacy sequels left on Mad Max Fury
Road. I just want to point
out
as well, I know people think I don't do research, which isn't true. I actually intentionally, I went through a lot of lists, and that was the one that I thought.
You didn't believe that was a good good sequel.
No, that I thought 100, this is a ridiculous list. And most and 50% of these aren't real movies.
Joshua said, would you put it higher up than Top Gun Maverick?
Yes.
Interesting.
I think it's a better film than Top Gun Maverick. Hmm. Is it a better legacy sequel? I don't know. It's not really a legacy sequel, even though it is set. I mean, it's made.
Oh, interesting.
It's made,
okay,
like,
sure.
It came
sure.
out like 20 or 30
okay,
years after the
all right.
previous one.
Hmm.
What do you think?
Ooh, I mean, I think it's certainly the best of the Mad Max movies.
Agreed.
And it's a tough call because they're both Maverick and Fury Road are lightning in a bottle kind of sequels where I'm like, there's no way I'd be interested in seeing that. There's no way it's going to be good. And they both were.
Yeah.
And that's shocking to me.
Yeah. If you had to put one on right now, what would you watch?
Few Maverick.
You'd watch some of Fury Road and then into
some
Maverick.
Some of Maverick. I'd watch a minute of
time. I would 100% watch Fury Road any day of a Maverick.
I think today I would watch Maverick.
Yep.
But tomorrow's another day, isn't it?
Tomorrow's Maverick Day, actually.
Oh, damn it. I guess I'd watch Maverick today, then Maverick tomorrow, and then Fury Road.
That's a great idea.
And then Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
Yeah? Would you pay $31 for a seat that shakes?
No. I paid $10 because I had some
initially because I have a Hoyts membership.
Mm-hmm, sure. Mm-hmm.
The ticket was $1.
Whoa.
But I had to push it back to a later session and the only session was in D-box.
$30 more.
And though I couldn't use any of my points, so they're just like, it's $31 for this. Wow. Yeah.
So you paid $32?
Yeah, because I had to.
Wow.
Because I like to tip.
Must be nice.
It is.
Mm.
It's nice.
Yeah.
I wish I had that dollar though.
Mm. One more email. This is from Ashton.
Ashton?
And I'm sorry to say it's another car crash related
email. Oh my God.
Hope this email finds you well. Today I was rear-ended and sent into another vehicle. This is my first car accident and the car might be totaled. To calm my nerves, when I got home, I put on the episode about Dune Part 2.
Oh my God.
I've decided to undertake...
I'm glad you're okay.
Yeah, me too. I've decided to undertake watching the Dune movies and perhaps even reading the books.
Don't do it.
Undertake watching the Dune movies. So that includes the 1980s one, right?
Exactly.
Have we watched that? Should we watch that?
I think we will by the time the next Dune comes around.
Okay.
We'll check it out.
Dune 84 Dune.
Dune 84 Dune, yeah. And it's one movie as opposed to two movies.
And it's so true.
Yeah.
Thank you both for providing some laughs after an intense day.
God, that's lucky that you're not dead.
Yeah.
And you got to watch Dune.
That's so true. That's the best of all possible worlds, I
completely
think.
Completely agree.
I mean, minus the getting rear-ended. It's bad.
That's bad. That is bad news. Yeah. Cool. I've got one more tweet here, and it says, I'm just going to bring up the rest of it. Oh, there's a trailer for The Penguin.
Yep.
Looks good.
Let's watch it now. Wah, 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 wah.
Looks good.
It does look good.
And he's like, I remember a guy, and now I'm a guy.
But I'm flippery.
He is flippery, isn't he? Yeah.
Were you a little disappointed we didn't get anything like a novelty umbrella?
No. We're going to get all of that. It's going to be novelty umbrellas all day.
Great. Novelty umbrellas out the wazoo.
Woo!
In and out the wazoo.
That's right.
Great.
So I'm going to I got a tweet here, and I meant to bring this up last week. But
I'm listening.
It says, this is from Chief Mackenzie Bock, who says, Dwayne Johnson being contractually obligated to never lose a fight makes this clip so much funnier because he can't handle it.
This is the...
Now, if Collins could put this in.
This is a clip. It's Amelia de Moldenberg who did the chicken shop date. She does the chicken shop date videos. Very funny.
Yep.
And she is on the red carpet with The Rock, and she's doing rock, paper, scissors with him.
And?
She defeats him, and he gets mad about it.
Yeah.
Now, either he's acting very well...
He's trying.
And he's containing his rage. I guess he assumed that she would let him win.
Yeah.
Or something, or he would win. And I don't know.
It's just very funny. Mm. It really throws him. Mm. I can't find the thing because I want to send it to Collings to put it in. Anyway, Collings, put it in or don't. People can find it.
Can we do rock, paper, scissors?
Yes.
Rock, paper, scissors. I won.
Well, no. Yeah, see, it's supposed to be rock, paper, scissors, go.
Oh, what?
This is cheap. What kind of bullshit?
No, sorry. I think I won.
You just cheated.
No, I think I just won. Would you want to do it again?
Want to do it again?
Okay. Rock, paper, scissors, shoot. Damn! I think my one was the British way, and it's a lot better. At first, I thought that you were just only doing rock.
It's usually what I do. But since you cheated, then I recognize your game right away.
Well,
stop cheating at that game.
Sorry.
Yeah, she's fun on the red carpet.
She is, yeah. Mm. I think we've talked about this, but I see some of those interviews. I'm like, I don't know who this
British
rapper is.
Yeah, yeah. But a lot, I've watched a few because you click on the one you know, and then it goes through to the next couple. And I'm like,
oh, you got autoplay on, do you?
Sometimes
must
I do.
Must be nice.
Sometimes I do. Yeah, that's right. I paid $100 for autoplay.
All right. Is that the show?
That is the whole show. Thank you so much, folks, for listening. We appreciate it. I was surprised Owen Wilson appearance at the end.
Are you?
Do you think he should be in maybe Ghostbusters next one?
No.
Next Ghostbusters?
No, he doesn't have to do that.
Interesting.
Do you think he should?
I'd welcome him.
Nobody should have to be in those movies.
I'd welcome him with open goopy arms.
Fair enough.
It feels like the slime a bit. I mean, obviously it was meant to be. Well, he's
slimy. The one bit I like has been Slime Rate the Pizza.
I was going to say, I think if they'd had more time in the movie, I feel like everybody goes on a ghost-busting adventure and there's a big thing, but the B-plot is Finn Wolfhard has to stop Slimer in the ghost house.
Yeah, absolutely.
It'd be good, I think. Folks, thank you so much for listening. We absolutely appreciate it. Thank you for telling your friends about the podcast, because that is how we get new listeners. Eventually we're going to run out of...
Because people are always having babies.
Oh, that's so true,
yeah. Bringing them in.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
What do you think?
I think that's cool.
Yeah, me too.
And thank you for leaving a 5-star review on your podcast catcher of choice. You can almost certainly do it in-app, and James will read out one of those reviews, or two of those reviews even.
I'm actually going to read out two. This one is from Rufio1617.
Rufio from Peter Pan?
Yes. He says that these guys know snake eyes. Next week, by the way.
Yeah.
James and Mesa are those kinds of guys who make you feel like you've known them since forever. Every week I look forward to this podcast, and it really helps jumpstart my week.
Well, I love that.
Just like a car. That's me saying that.
Okay. Just in case people don't understand the context of
that. Some people don't. Some people are dumber than me. Yeah. Not a lot of people, but some are. Mm. This one's from Neil Graham, who says, very good podcast. My Monday morning commute has been listening to this for years. No complaints. I'm sure you can find something.
Yeah.
I mean, I found something to complain about of new Ghostbusters.
That's true.
I really had to...
Dig deep.
Dig deep, yeah. And I discovered something about myself.
It's that you
hate
mad.
Ghostbusters.
Well, you're mad about anything you have to pay $31 for.
Yeah. That wasn't the reason.
I'd be mad too, actually.
That's not the reason why I didn't like it.
No piece of entertainment's worth more than $30.
I only remember that later. I didn't remember. Mm. I had forgotten because I turned the rumble off.
You knew in your heart.
I didn't know, Mason. I don't know anything in my heart. There's no truths there.
That's great.
Okay, what's next?
Folks, if you want to get into contact with us, you can go to weeklyplanetpod@gmail.com.
Keep them pithy.
Yeah, keep them short and pithy.
You've got a way more chance of getting an email on here. You've got a way
also,
more chance.
Also, if you just want to ask a yes or no question, I think that would
totally
that would save us a lot of time, honestly.
Yeah, definitely.
So we don't have to think of anything.
You can even put it in the description only.
That's true. Or you can even give us our opinions, honestly.
We'd be happy to.
You could be, do you like this yes or no?
I think
say
yes.
Yeah, I think yes, and we'd be like, good call.
Yeah, we do like that.
We would like that, actually.
We're easily influenced.
Because by the time of the letters segment, God, we're tired.
God, we're so tired.
You know, we did stuff before this
we
as well.
We want to lie down, we want to crawl into a sewer and go to sleep.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You can go to the Planet Broadcasting Great Mates Facebook group and the Weekly Planet Podcast subreddit and Discord. We have fun,
yes,
civil
Mason.
Chats about podcasts and pop culture. Thank you to Fidel and Maisie and Sarabi for moderating those forums.
Incredible.
And doing TikToks and clips channels and videos and all sorts of stuff.
So good.
If you want to follow some people on the socials, follow our friend Rob Collings. He's at Rob Collings on Twitter. He's at The Weekly Planet on Twitter. Mm-hmm. He'll keep you up to date on all things The Weekly Planet. He also does videos as well and little clips and stuff. You want to see some clip highlights from the podcast? They'll be on the Twitter feed. Don't you even worry about that.
Oh,
you can follow me, Wikipedia Brown on Twitter, and Nick Maso on Instagram. James is Mr. Sunday Movies Everywhere.
Yes.
Yes, exactly.
Think
right.
about that.
If you want to support the show.
I did get all the handles. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Got it. If you want to support the show, you go to patreon.com/MrSundayMovies. Chucking a buck or an amount you would not miss if it were to disappear into the internet ether.
That's right.
And went into our dirty little pockets.
We'd love that.
That's right.
We love
or if all... if you're a big spender, go to bigsandwich.co. Sign up for $9 per month. Bonus podcast, movie commentaries, early videos.
There's a Doctor Who trailer as well. Doctor Who's coming back.
Oh, that's right. I did see that. Look good.
Yeah, looks good.
Big budget.
Big budget.
Huge numbers.
Huge, big numbers.
Big numbers. Let's see. Our t-shirts on tpublic.com. Thank you to the Brute and the Basilisk and all our musical for all our musical themes. Brute and the Basilisk and Rackham for all our musical themes. James is doing a dab.
Nope.
Updates, folks, if you're wondering, we emailed the guy about he wants to buy the Mr. Sunday Movies channel. No response yet.
Didn't hear back from him.
We just want a number.
I didn't feel like that wasn't even a serious offer.
We just want a number. Just
give me a number, man.
Just a number.
Give me a goddamn number. All right. Next week, Godzilla X-Kong.
Oh, yeah. It's bro time.
It's bro time, everybody.
That's right.
So looking forward to that. All right, thanks, everyone.
Grab that gem, you guys. We'll see you next week.
Goodbye.
For more bro time. Does that just indicate this whole...
It's Ghostbusters.
Oh, I thought you were saying the whole podcast was just a sad time.
It was a great podcast, Ghostbusters.
Right.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up Quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's Quince.com/upgrade.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.